Blog Talk Radio.
After the death of Solomon, God divided the kingdom of Israel into two houses. There were 10 tribes in the northern kingdom known as the Lost Tribes of Israel. They were cast out into the world because of their great sin against God. However, God promised in the last days he would gather these lost tribes back to Israel before the return of our Lord. Unknowingly, some of the churches made up of these lost tribes known as the House of Ephraim. God is now calling them to prepare to come back home to the land he gave our fathers. The call to prepare has been sounded.
Welcome, Ephraimites, and Shalom. This is your host, Mark Reinbold, and this is the House of Ephraim Show today. And we do have with us today, from Mount Carmel, Illinois, Sister Donna Deckard. But first, a word from our announcers.
And now, from Cradle of Hope, are some important announcements for you. This month, from Cradle of Hope, is a must-have gift offer, the transition of the church. God has transitioned the church since the days of the book of Acts. Don't miss out on this last and greatest move of God. Jesus Christ is returning for a church full of power and glory. This transition will bring the church forward. Send a gift of $25 or more. Call today and get free shipping if you ask for the Transition of Church gift offer. Call 618-262-2810 or go online at jewishprophet.com. Send a gift of $25 or more and ask for the Transition of the Church gift offer.
Hey, welcome back in the show. It's Mark Reinbold. Got a couple announcements to make before we get going here with our great, great show we have in store for you. I just want to remind everyone that we do have a website, www.jewishprophet.com. That's www.jewishprophet.com. And for all you new people out there, maybe the first time that you've been on, please check that website out. You're going to find out who we are, and you're going to get a hold of a lot of material that you've never seen before. And you want to check that material out because you're going to start to learn the Word of God. And I'm telling you what a great opportunity that is. We also have a quarterly coming up here, and you can get more information about that by clicking on the itinerary button on the front page there in the upper left-hand corner and find out what the quarterly and where it's going to be. It's going to be over in Fairfield, Illinois, out what we call lovingly the corn patch. And you can be a part of that and begin to learn the material straight from the throne room of God. And I'm telling you what, that is a great opportunity, folks. So grab a hold of this and begin to prepare and to plan and get yourself down here and find out for yourself what's going on. And you can become part of this last day move of God, the House of Ephraim. And again, you can get all that information out at the website, www.jewishprophet.com. We also have fellowships available online. So, you know, if you're out there and you don't have a local fellowship or you want to begin to learn about the material and begin to plug in with the material, not only do we have this blog every day, but we also have fellowships available online. That's via ustream.tv. And we have one on Friday night. I teach one myself Friday night. You can become part of that. There's also a Wednesday midweek service. And we teach only the prophet's material so that you're assured of learning the right material at the right time. What an opportunity, again, that all is. So, again, if you don't already have a fellowship in your area or you just are interested in learning more about what's going on, please consider joining up with that. And you can get more information just by emailing us at cradle@jewishprophet.com. That's cradle@jewishprophet.com. And just say, hey, I'd like to sign up for that Shabbat service that Mark was talking about, and certainly love to get you hooked up. If you want to do it just by the telephone, we can do that also. And you can give the office a call, 618-262-2810, and find out more about that also. Like I said earlier, we do have with us from Mount Carmel, Illinois, Sister Donna Decker.
Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6. I'm going to speak about discord today. You know, the last quarterly, the prophet talked about defilement, and he talked about how important it is for us not to defile our ministries. And each and every one of us want to serve God in the capacity that he has set for us to serve him. can derail you quickly. And we're going to study discord. Verse 12 through 19. A naughty person, a wicked man. How many of you think of yourself as naughty or wicked? No. Walketh with a forward mouth. He winketh with his eyes, he speaketh with his feet, and he teacheth with his fingers. You know what he's talking about there is body language. You know, on one of those news stations, every once in a while they bring somebody on to talk about the body language of someone when they were doing the speech, you know, because they did this, that. Body language. Forwardness is in his heart, and he deviseth mischief continually, and he soweth discord. Discord is right up there with being naughty and being wicked. You know, we don't put naughty and wicked in the same category. Naughty is just a little nicer than wicked. But God said naughty and wicked, they're the same to him. And discord is wicked. Therefore shall his calamity, come suddenly. Suddenly shall he be broken without remedy. What the prophet just said, there's things in your life you're seeking for God for, but discord is keeping it from happening. You're sowing discord, and it's stopping the blessings from coming, and so the calamity is coming. There are six things that the Lord hates. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. That's an abomination. Abomination to God. To sow discord among the brethren. Now, why would that be an abomination to God? Do you remember in the Familiar Spirits, one of the CDs was about seeds? And in it I talked about the seeds, it didn't matter whether they were big or whether they were small, but they would sprout and grow, right? And words are seeds that are planted. Now, we like the idea of I'm planting seeds of faith, I'm healed, I'm prosperous, and I am blessed, right? But what about the seeds that you're planting of discord? Do you know about so-and-so? Did you see that? Let me tell you what I know. You are planting seeds into that person's life. Seeds of discord that will divide and tear the unity that we are striving so hard for. Because it's the unity that's going to bring the corporate anointing into the room and cause the glory cloud to fall. That's what's going to cause the miracles to happen. But as long as we are tearing and biting and devouring one another with discord, it's not going to happen. And we all raise our hand and say, I want to be there, I want to be part of it. But we got to look in our heart and say, what am I doing? What's coming out of my mouth? Am I a good tree bringing forth good fruit? Or am I a bad tree bringing forth discord? That's an abomination. Abomination. That's a tough word, isn't it? The next time you're on the phone and somebody starts to do that, you just need to see this little flag go up that says, abomination! Shut our mouth. Just put a lock and key. You know, when I was a kid, we used to say, okay, we're going to play this little quiet game. We zip it closed, lock it, and swallow the key. That's what we got to do spiritually. We've got to do that. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 12. Discord is something that the Bible talks a lot about. In fact, I had to whittle down the scriptures because I would have needed two services I was like going, I've got more here, and I still may not get it done. 1 Corinthians 12:25, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. There shouldn't be any schisms happening in our fellowships. No schisms. Well, why did Prophet make him leader? How's come I didn't get to do that? Prophet didn't say hi to me. Prophet's wife talked to her, but not to me. Those are all schisms that happen. Did it ever occur to you I don't have time to talk to every one of you? There was a line back there of people wanting to talk to me last night. I got up in the room and the prophet's going, what took you so long? I said, people want to talk to me. And I said, and I'm sure that I left before everybody got a chance. I try not to. But you know, this is a room of 50, 60. Now let's multiply that. We're not going to talk to all of you. Not because we don't want to. We can't. And that's why we have to delegate it out. As God says, this one's worthy, that one's worthy, you can trust them that they'll say the right things. Then we delegate it out. And there was a lady came up to me last night. She says, I want to talk to you about food preparation. I didn't have time to talk to her about food preparation. But I knew that someone else could. And so I'm going, you talk to that person about food preparation. That's what we have to do. But see, we get all bent out of shape. Well, I wanted to hear what the prophet's wife had to say. But what they don't understand is the person I sent them to knows what I have to say because she's heard. And she only repeated what I've told her. There shouldn't be chisms. This shouldn't be because we should all have the same care one for another. You see, we are not more important than you are. We just have a different job. You understand that? We just have a different job. That's all there is. That's all it is. Have the same care. James chapter 4. What leads to all this strife and discord that happens? Chapter 4, verse 1. For whence comes wars and fightings among you? Where did all the wars and fightings come from? Come they not hence even from your lust that war in your members? Discord and feuds, they come from lust. They originate in you. And they stop you from obtaining the blessings of God. See, we don't look at discord as war, do we? But it is war. It's war between you and that other person. That's what discord is about. What leads to it? It's the lust that you have so you can be noticed, so people will know what you have to say. Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 19. We're going to be in Proverbs a lot, so you might want to stick a marker in there. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 19. In the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin. In the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin. You know, have you ever been around someone who talks a lot? Sooner or later, they're going to say something wrong. They're going to say something wrong, and they're going to get in sin. But he that refraineth his lips is wise. The tongue of the just is as choice silver. Choice silver. Now, when I think about choice silver, I think of my sterling silver that I have in the china cabinet. And it's choice silver. It only comes out for special occasions, and I polish it up and get it all sparkly and looking nice, so that I can set it on my table because it's a special occasion. And it says here that the tongue of the just or the righteous is as choice silver, but the heart of the wicked is of little worth. The heart of the wicked is of no value. It's like plastic, throwaway paper. Not the silver, but the throwaway, the stuff we just toss away. And you say, but I'm not wicked. My words aren't wicked. But if you're sowing discord, it's wicked, right? It's of little worth, but it does do damage. Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9. How many of you understand we're the salt of the earth? Amen, we're the salt of the earth. Mark chapter 9, verse 50. Salt is good, but if the salt has lost his saltiness, wherewithal ye season it? Have salt in yourselves and have peace with one another. That is peace, is living in harmony, lack of discord with one another. If we're the salt of the earth, we're not going to be sowing discord. So if you're sowing discord, guess what? You lost your saltiness. You're a bad witness. And you are worthless to God. You're not his choice silver. And don't we want to be his choice vessels? We want him polishing us up and saying, okay, it's a special occasion, I'm going to use you. And yet, we sow discord and wonder why he just every once in a while uses us like, it doesn't seem like a big deal. And then we cry out to God, oh God, please use me. Romans 14. When we get done today, you're going to be glad I marked off about half of these scriptures. Romans 14, verse 19. Let us therefore follow after things that make for peace. Follow after things that make for peace and harmony. And things wherewith one may edify another. Do you know what you need to do when you get ready to open your mouth? You need to say, think to yourself and go, is what I'm about to say going to make for peace? Is it going to edify the person I'm speaking about? Or is it going to divide and cut them down? You know, we cut ourselves down enough. We don't need somebody else helping us out. Isn't that right? We do. We don't need somebody else telling us how bad we are. We know. We really do know. And you know what? When you get ready to say that, how would you like that person to talk about you? You know, you reap what you sow. You're sowing discord. Discord's going to get sown from you, too. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, just a few pages over. Verse 10. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus, that you may speak the same thing, and there be no divisions among you, and you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Perfectly joined together. How many of you ever peeled an orange? We all have. Now you get done peeling this orange, And I usually take my thumbs, and you take it and you divide that orange in half, right? And then you divide all these other little segments, and you're going to come out with about 12 segments, right? Discord divides the whole group into all these little segments. Now, have you ever tried to put one of them oranges back together? Like unscrambling eggs. It's just is not going to hold. You know, you're going to need to glue the bond of peace to hold that thing together. And then if you decide you're going to toss it across the room because somebody else wants to eat it, all the pieces are going to fly everywhere. That's what discord does to our groups. Instead of being that hole that can be used by God, it becomes divided and segmented. And you've got a little piece over here and a little piece here and a big piece here and a bigger piece here, and you're not a unit anymore. But praise God, he can put oranges back together, can he? But the problem is we keep tearing them apart. We just keep tearing each other up. There shouldn't be divisions and fragments in our groups. We are brothers. We're part of a family. We're part of the family of God. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Every time I wanted to find Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, a long time ago my grandmother said, General Electric Power Company. And that's how I could figure out the order. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, thank you, God, for your mercy. For his great love wherewith that he loved us. And even when we were dead in sin, hath quickened us with Christ, and by grace are we saved. We all like God's mercy, don't we? But we need to be merciful to one another. God says if you're not merciful, he can't be merciful to you. He can't be merciful to you. Turn over to chapter 4, verse 3. Endeavoring to keep the unity, the glue, keep that unity of the Spirit, which is the bond of peace. You have to endeavor. This isn't something that you just say, oh, that was a nice sermon, I'll work on it. No, you're going to have to strive after it. You're going to have to go after it like you did when you first found out about healing and you went after healing. How many of you have had to believe God for a long time for a healing in your life? You know, he zaps us sometimes, but other times he's going, you're going to walk through this one. Well, you know what? If you have a habit of sowing discord in your life, it's not something that you can come up here and zap, it's over. Because you already have formed a habit, and you're going to have to unlearn that. And you're going to have to pursue that peace and unity. And you're going to have to say to yourself, what am I saying here? You may be in the middle of the sentence of saying something and go, in your mind here, discord, and go, I'm sorry, I can't finish that. And you know, that's tough. Because if you're with a group, they're going to go, no, come on, what was you going to say? Come on, we want to know. Come on, tell me. Tell me. No, I'm not. I can't say that. Can't say. It's not going to be easy. You're going to have to pursue it. You're going to have to be determined that you're not going to sow discord. Philippians chapter 2, verse 2 through 8. Fulfill my joy. Another version says, complete my joy. That you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and one mind. You know, when you're sowing discord, you're not of one accord. I understand chords, okay, on a musical instrument. A discord is one that doesn't make harmony. It kind of sounds, okay? We want to be of one accord, not discord, and one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem the other better than themselves. That person that you're so in discord about, you need to think of them as they're better than you. When you're so in discord, that's not your opinion, is it? I'm better than they are because I don't do that, and I want to tell you what they've done. Discord, you need to think of them as better than you. Better than you. Look not every man, verse 4, on his own things, but every man also on the things of others, and that's not to covet him. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. God is asking us to be obedient unto death. Now, we're not going to be pounded on a cross. Hallelujah. But we are going to have to kill our flesh. And see, when you're in the middle of that group and your spirit says, that's discord, shut your mouth, you're going to have to kill your flesh and shut your mouth and not say it. Can you be obedient to that point? Can you do that? Can you pursue it to the point that you'll hush up? You know, some people just talk to hear themselves rattle. They do. And it's like, I know one time we was on the plane and this gal talked the whole trip. And I'm like, gee, honey, give it a rest. And it wasn't about anything important. She's just rattling. Just rattling. It's like a potato chip bag. Just. Just close your mouth for a while. You know, God gave you two ears and one mouth. My dad always told me, he said, you know what? He says, if you'll just listen long enough, he says, you'll find out that you may be smarter than they are. Because you'll find out what they know. And you know that's true. I can tell you what you know by what you tell me. So you come up to, when you come up to the prophet and you tell the prophet, well, Paul said, do you know what you're telling him? He already knows what Paul said. And he's already been approached by that for the last 10, 12 years. And he's got the answers to it. And you're coming up going, Paul said, and the prophet's going, okay, know where you're at. Doesn't have to be any spiritual discernment about it. You opened your mouth and told him. And that's what we do all the time. We open our mouths and show our diapers. We do. We do it all the time. Okay, 2 Timothy, moving right along. 2 Timothy verse or chapter 2, verse 22 through 26. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strife. You are supposed to follow after righteousness, faith, charity, and peace. When you're sowing discord, you're not following after peace. But when you are doing foolish and unlearned questions, you're gendering strife. How many of the leaders understand that we've told you no questions in the fellowship, no potlucks? You teach the material. If they have a question, they come to you individually and ask you. Well, that's not right. how many of us have been in Wednesday night prayer meeting where we all read the scripture and everybody asked the questions and everybody discussed their opinions? I mean, that's the way we've always done it. But did it work? No. Do you know why? Because it produced strife. And the prophet understands that. And the prophet said, no questions, no sitting around talking for 45 minutes after service. Just listen to the material, go home and study it. If you have a question, talk to your leader. Oh, people complain. Bah, 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 bah. I don't like that. I don't like it. That's not right. That's not the love of Jesus. Yes, it is. We're cutting out the discord. We're doing you a favor. And you don't know it. Because, see, when you have a question, Susie over here, she has just accepted the whole sermon by faith and thinks it's grand, but you ask the question and you plant that seed of discord in her heart that was not there. And now the leader of that fellowship not only has to deal with you, he's got to deal with her. And you stunted her growth. But all I had was a question, but it was discord. And you didn't know it. That mean old bad prophet won't let me ask questions. Yes, he did. He just said, only ask it to your leader in private. Is that so hard? You know what the problem there is? Daddy, mommy won't let me do that. Or usually it's mommy, daddy won't let me do that. Can you go talk to daddy and maybe soften him up a little bit and he'll talk him into it? And how many of us mamas have done that? Don't come to me and see if I can talk the prophet into letting you sow discord. It ain't going to happen. Okay, 1 Peter chapter 3. Chapter 3, verse 11. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. In another version it says, you are to pursue peace and go after it. Now, you know what I envision with that? Have you ever been chasing something? Running as hard as you could run. You know, Tom and I, we got delayed in the airport down in Dallas one day. We're supposed to leave out of there and been home by noon. And at 9 o'clock, they finally put us on an airplane to go to Chicago, and we had 15 minutes to go from Terminal E to Terminal A. And we were running. We were pursuing Terminal A. Because we wanted to go home tonight, and we didn't want to miss that plane. And we were running as hard as we could and not getting in trouble for running too fast in a terminal, right? But we were pursuing that, okay? You are to pursue peace. Discord is not pursuing peace. But going with your question individually to your fellowship leader is pursuing peace. And not getting on the phone next week and griping about the rules and how unfair they are. That's not pursuing peace, is it? But it's happening. It's happening. Discord is the lack of agreement or harmony between two persons, things or ideas. Actively quarreling and conflict results from discord among persons and factions. Strife, discord, conflict, contention, variance, though are all synonyms, of discord. Strife emphasizes struggle for superiority. Now I want to talk to you about something. And I don't know, I think the guys do this too, though. But gals, you ever been in a group and they start talking about someone, and all of a sudden, somebody, pride rises up within them. Well, you guys don't know what I know about that. Pride. You see, I have this little nugget that I know that you don't know, and I'm going to tell you all, and you're going to be really surprised that I know this. And then that person tells their little nugget, and then another one says, well, that's nothing. I know that this and this and this went on. And it becomes a fish story contest. Who knows the most gossip? And it's discord. And you're sitting there tearing that little orange apart. And then you go to church next week, and you raise your hands, and you're going, God, forgive me for all my sins. Of course, I have none. And I want to be blessed. And I pray for Susie over there that we were talking about this week, that she gets things right in her life. And God, you know that request I've been praying about for the last 6 months? When are you going to give it to me? And God says, I can't. I can't. It's not that he won't. He can't. You see, he can't because you have a wicked heart. You've been so in discord. And you're foolish and you don't even know it. You didn't even know it. None of us knew it. You see, if we did, this little red flag would have went up that said abomination and we would have stayed away from it. But no, we didn't. That flag didn't go up and we didn't see abomination. Well, we're just sharing that with our group because we're going to pray for her. Oh, that sounds real religious. Convince God about that one. Now, strife is not new. You know, it started way back there with Cain and Abel. Way back there. Abraham understood that strife had to be cut and severed and stopped. And he said, remember whenever the Lot and his servants, the herdsmen, were arguing with Abraham's herdsmen over the water and the grazing area? Now, you know, in our day and age, we don't quite understand that because, you know, we have our lawns and who cares how big they are. You know, we just have what size lawnmower we got to have. But let's put it this way. Abraham had a better job than Lot did. And Lot was trying to climb up the ladder to get a promotion, and he was trying to kick Abraham off the ladder so he could get up there. Now, we understand that, don't we? And Abraham said, there can be no strife between us because we are brethren. He said, isn't the job world out there big enough that you can go over there and find a job and I can go over here and find a job and we can climb the ladder of success? And that's what he said to him. And so Lot went over here and there was plenty of room for him to climb the ladder of success of that day. And there was over here for Abraham. Right? There's plenty of room in this organization for you to climb the ladder of success. There's plenty of room for us for having leadership. We need fellowship leaders. We need people who will get their lives right with God, that when someone comes and asks a question, we can say, go talk to that person. There's plenty of room. You're needed. But we got to get you potty trained first. Sorry. Has to be done. Get out of the diapers and get into the pull-ups, okay? Okay, where am I at? Proverbs chapter 10. Abraham told Lot, he said, look, we can't have this. We're brethren. And it's just not going to work for us to be having strife with one another. Do you know why Abraham knew that? He wasn't going to get the blessings of God as long as there was strife in the camp. He had to get it out. You know, sometimes the prophet or now then we have the advantage of having people that's under our ministry that understand the strife has to leave. You know, at the quarterly, the wolf came in and the wolf left. He didn't leave on his own accord. The strife had to, he had to be told, leave, go away. We don't want the strife. We don't need the discord. And it was for the good of the whole body. But I'm sure that there was probably someone who thought, well, that's not the love of Jesus. But Abraham understood, and the prophet understands, and some of you understand. We can't have schisms. We can't have that happening. We have to. We have to come and be united together in one spirit to be strong. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 12. Hate stirs up strife, but love covers all sins. You need to underline all. That does away with the, well, you don't know what they did. Love covers it. It's covered. Chapter 16, verse 28. A forward man sows strife, and a whisperer separateth chief of friends. We know we've all saw that happen over and over again. Chapter 17, verse 14. The beginning of strife is as when one letteth out water. Therefore, leave off contention before it be meddled with. The beginning of strife is when one lets out water. Now, how many of you have ever been to a dam? Holds back water, right? You seen the commercial where the guy's walking, him and this other worker's walking by, and they're walking along the edge of the dam, and there's this little leak, and one of them takes the gum out and tries to stop the leak, okay? That's kind of what we're doing. You see, when we sow discord in our fellowships or in our lives, it's like that little bitty leak on behind the dam. And if you don't stop that leak up, you know what's going to happen? That water's going to keep going through, and it's going to erode that, and it's going to get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger until the dike breaks. And then the floodwaters come, and then you're going, help! Help! Satan's attacking me! But the problem was the little bitty leak that you didn't take care of. You know, there used to be this little saying that said, a stitch in time saves nine. I used to teach that to my girls. I said, do you know what that means? Like, no. I said, well, if you've got a seam and there's a little bitty stitch here and there's a little bitty hole, I said, if you will mend that, it'll just be a couple of stitches. But if you don't mend it and you wear it and wash it and wear it and wash it, next thing you know, you got a hole like this. I said, a stitch in time will save nine. Just mend that little bitty thing. Just stop and take time to do it. Same thing with strife. Take time to get the strife out. Stop the strife in your mind. Stop the discord. Proverbs 20, verse 3. But it is an honor for a man to cease from strife. Every fool will be meddling. It's an honor. You see, you become that vessel of honor when you stop strife and discord. 22:10 of Proverbs. Cast out the scorner, and contention shall go out. Yea, strife and reproach shall cease. Oh, I thought we thought that wasn't the love of Jesus. Cast out the scorner. We have to drive discord away from us. Drive it away. Chapter 26. Verse 17. He that passes by and meddleth with strife, belonging not to him, is like one that taketh a dog by the ears. Let me read that in, in another version. He who passing by stops to meddle with strife that's none of his business is like one who takes a dog by its ears. You ever grabbed a dog by its ear and tried to pick it up? It yelps. And if it's big enough, it's going to bite you. That hurt. Strife will bite you. You meddle and play with strife and get into something that's none of your business, it's going to bite you. It's going to bite you spiritually. If it's none of your business, leave it out of your life. Does it matter what happened between Susie and Mary? It's none of your business what happened between Susie and Mary. But we make it our business, don't we? We do it. All in the name of God, of course. We got to pray for them. We ought to be praying for them anyway. Aren't we told to pray for one another? If we have to have a reason, we were told to do it. Just pray for one another. You don't have to know. It's none of our business. We don't need to know. Let's keep on going down here. Verse 20. Where no wood is, there the fire goes out. So where no tale-bearer is, the strife will cease. You understand if we'd all just close our mouths and not share it, it would all quit? The problem is me. And the problem is you. We just need to close this right here. Close it up, lock it up, swallow the key. But we can't do that. We have to feed the fire. We just keep putting wood on, don't we? And then whenever it gets so big and out of hand that the chimney is on fire, then we're going, oh, gee, how did that happen? That's how it happened. Proverbs 28, verse 25, next page on my Bible. He that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife. There it is. It's pride. And you notice it said in your heart, a proud heart. You see, God looks on our hearts, doesn't he? And he sees that as pride. But he that putteth his trust in the Lord shall be made fat. And he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. But whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. God is a deliverer, but we have to walk wisely. 29, verse 22. Oh, this one's good. An angry man stirreth up strife. No. That should say an intercessing woman stirreth up strife. No, an angry man stirreth up strife, and a furious man aboundeth in transgression. Oh, well, now we know transgression is a sin, right? We know that. How about the angry man stirring up strife? You ever been in one of those little groups and someone who's got anger in their heart about somebody else and they stir it up, they start talking because they want to kill, steal, and destroy that person, don't they? And they're doing it verbally. What? That's Satan's job. Let him do it. He'll take care of that. Strife isn't from God. Isaiah 54, verse 15. Isaiah 54, 15. Behold, they shall utterly gather together, but not by me. Whosoever shall gather together against thee shall fall for thy sake. Now in another version it says, behold, they gather together and stir up strife, but it is not from me. You see, when you're gathered together and you're sowing discord, that's not from God. It didn't come from him. Even if you're doing it in the name of, it's our prayer group. It's not from God. You know, one time I was in prayer, and oh, this has been years ago. Kayleen wasn't born yet. It's been that long ago. I was in prayer, and as I prayed in the spirit, I began to grieve. And then I had a vision. I didn't know that it was a vision. It was a Methodist church. I didn't know anything about visions. But in this vision, I saw the body of Christ. And he was laying down in this meadow like a huge giant. And as I came in closer to the body and looked down, I began to see that his body, it wasn't just him laying there, but it was made up of people. And there were people within his body. And they were all standing there, just one right next to another, packed within his body. And I'm like, oh, the body of Christ, okay. You know, I'm like, and I'm praying, but I'm grieving, crying. And I zoom in closer, like with the camera lens, you just zoom in closer, and I begin to see that there within the body, they're fighting. I mean, fist fighting. They're swinging at one another, and they're shoving, and the body is just, it's just, the whole thing was just moving because it was this huge mob fighting one another. And then I understood the grief. Christ said, my body shouldn't fight one another. They should be in unity together going forward. You see, when an army's fighting one another, they're going to get defeated. They're not on guard to the enemy. They're fighting with each other. And we have an enemy. And it's not each other. It's not our brother. The enemy is the devil. That's who the enemy is. And we need to be on guard. But no, we're fighting. And Christ is grieving. I never prayed with such grief as I did that day. And when I went to prayer, I was happy. Christ was grieved. And you know what? The body still fights. They still fight. Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. Verse 24, and there was also a strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest. That's the disciples. That's the 12 men who had the privilege of walking this earth with our Lord and Savior and sitting at his feet and learning from him, and there was strife among them as to who was going to be the greatest. Because two of them had went and requested that when they got to heaven, that one could sit on the right and one could sit on the left. And the rest of them got jealous because they asked. Power struggle. I want to be his favorite. And Jesus said, it's not mine to give who will sit on the right and the left. It's not my choice. But do you realize how grieved he was? I've sat here and taught you for 3 solid years, and I'm going to die on the cross and leave it in your hands, and you guys are going to argue over who gets to sit by me in heaven. Who cares? I bet that day he wanted to take and set him down and go, okay, time for a diaper changing. Your diapers are showing. And some of them have poo-poo in them. Are we any different? No. No, we're not. And yet when the prophet says, your diaper's showing, we get all offended. Oh, I'm bigger than that. I'm out of diapers. Oh, yeah, you may be in training pants. But you know what? We still make messes, don't we? And God still is gracious and merciful, and thank God that he is, but just be merciful to one another. Can we not do that? Is it so hard? Is that so hard? Romans chapter 13. Now let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I just cut one more out for you. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 3. Oh, this one's bad. For ye are yet carnal. Oh, no, I'm not. I'm spiritual. You see, I was in line. I had oil poured on me, and I am spiritual now. Nope, you're yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envy and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men? Is that any different than what's going on in the corporate world? Is it any different? Oh, gee, I want to have the best seat. No. It is a unified work that we're doing for God. And you know what? My little toe cannot be my mouth. Okay? And my little toe can't do what my mouth did. I mean, I can't imagine my little toe sitting up here talking. Be a little strange, wouldn't it? But you know what? My mouth can't give me the balance that my toes give me. And if I didn't have my little toe, I wouldn't be in high heels today. Because I couldn't balance. And I'd have to wear shoes that look like tennis shoes so I could stand up here and not fall down. You may be the little toe, but you're important. Because you bring the balance. You may be the mouthpiece. You may be the little finger. You may be the arm. You may be the heart. You see, the heart's not seen. We don't see our hearts. But let me tell you something. Your heart stop pumping, and you're in big trouble, aren't you? But we want to be seen. We want the best job. Well, the heart's the best job. Keep pumping. You may not be seen, but you're important. Don't be carnal.
Hey, thank you again so much. That's Donna Deckard, Mount Carmel, Illinois, Cradle of Hope Ministries. Again, you can get more information out at the website, www.jewishprophet.com. Get out there, do yourself a favor, find out what's going on here, and you won't be disappointed. So, again, you can also get more. All the tape series is out there on the website for you to get a hold of. I greatly encourage you to get all that. You can also email your prayer request to cradle@jewishprophet.com, and we'll be praying for your prayer request. Again, that's cradle@jewishprophet.com. Shalom. Until next week, remember, with God, all things are possible.